We have been journeying through a series on transitions. My hope, my prayer, is that for at least somehow, some way, naming that transitions are not easy, we can love each other a little bit deeper and hold space for each other. I want to recap where we've been in this journey so far. We started off with the story of Elijah running away from Jezebel, running away into the wilderness, neither here nor there, underneath a solitary broom tree, declaring that he was utterly alone and that his very life should be taken. In his fear and in his uncertainty, he cried out. But instead, God sent an angel, not once but twice, to offer him sustenance and encouragement. And despite believing that it was all over, he was able to rise and journey for his 40 days and 40 nights through the wilderness, which ultimately led to last week's scripture, in which we find that indeed Elijah, despite believing that he was alone in the middle of his transition, was not alone. But instead, there were 700 other faithful people who had held on to the faith in the midst of uncertainty. And not only did he gain that group, but he also had Elisha, with an S, a protege, and by God's grace, having received a double portion of Elijah's spirit at the end, showed himself to be even more than just a protege, but a son, a beloved one, one to continue to carry the mantle, which we discovered last week is not an object that we pass, but instead a coat or cloak, until I was in seminary. So in case you missed that, a mantle is not an object, which I assumed it was. But he wore it. And with that empowerment, with the Spirit carrying him and being gifted to him as he watched Elijah transition away, he showed that the Spirit was within him, not by thinking about it or ruminating about it or wondering about it, but by stepping forward into his destiny, placing his staff and himself in the river and watching it part, just like it had for his predecessor before. His feeling and recognition of having the Spirit wasn't shown in any other way but doing what was before. Today's scriptures are a bit of a transition within the transition series. We're making that move from the Old Testament and hearing some of the gifts of the Psalm 30 verses, but also looking towards some of the gifts present uniquely in the New Testament. Ways in which, in the language of Koine Greek, we have gifts of understanding what's around us. So, we in essence find ourselves in this liminal space. Kind of not quite here, not quite there. We haven't made it to the very end of our series, and we're not anywhere close to being at the beginning anymore. And it's usually when we're in these spaces in between, sometimes named liminal spaces, where our anxieties, uncertainties can indeed show themselves the most. Amen? It can be hardest to find rest and peace in these moments. But even when we are off kilter, off step, God offers us clarity through the language of the Psalms that tells us that even then, it is not the end. One of the invitations from Psalm 30 is to remember that all is temporary. All is temporary. This too shall pass. Discomfort is temporary. I would love to say that interim seasons are easy. God knows I want it to be for you in the biggest way possible. But there is likely to be some discomfort. Something is going to happen and you're going to go, no, that's not what we're doing, is it? Or, whoa, I did not see that coming. I kind of wish I had the ability to see the future right now so I could tell you what they were so you could set up a plan. But those are not my spiritual gifts. But what I can offer you is a reminder that this too, whatever this is, shall pass. And I gift to you again, offer for you connection with this scripture to come back to. Psalm 30 offers these words. Sing to the Lord, O you faithful people. Praise God's holy name. These were people who were imperfect. I'm sure that's not us, though, right? These were people who knew that they had kind of missed the mark at different turns. But even there, when God could indeed turn God's back on them, where they may be feeling like they are dealing with the consequences of their actions and those consequences are not feeling so comforting, well, they are reminded that God's love is bigger because God's anger only lasts for a moment. God's favor, however, it lasts for a lifetime. Church, please remember that as we journey together, as the roads may part, God's favor upon this community, I have zero doubt, will last for a lifetime. And while there may be discomfort, the psalmist offers this word, weeping may stay for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Some of us know what it's like to weep throughout the night. Amen? And to be able to only hold on to the fact that there will be joy some other time that may not be the current moment. Remember, these words are here for you as you go through transitions in life. Because whether you're in one now or one is coming, there will be still more coming after that. Amen? The psalmist continues. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Some of us have been there too. Everything is great and everything will stay great. And I will always have perfect faith because everything is great right now. Oh, but those moments of insecurity come. Lord, when you favored me, you made me a royal mountain, stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. We do ourselves a disservice if we pretend like there are never times in which we feel distance from where God is with us. It does not help us to be dishonest with our actual experience. However, you, the psalmist continues, well, Lord, I called and I cried for mercy. And this I find an interesting reality that we can at least glean the gift from. It's almost as if the psalmist tries to use reverse psychology on God in the next passage. The psalmist says, to you I cried, to the Lord I cried. What gain is it if I'm silenced, if I go down into the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Oh, Lord, give mercy to me. Lord, be my help. And I want to tell you, as kind of funny as that is, God can deal with that too. Amen? If the best you can do is say, Lord, I don't know what's going on here. It's some relationship. It's some crying out. And that yearning to be close to God, even when you are going through the pit, that's faithfulness happening right there. Some of us think that faithfulness is saying that everything is great. That is bull. I'll save the other word. It's just not true. But ability and willingness to turn towards God, even if you are trying to play a mind game on God, says that you love God enough to say, I don't know what's happening here. But I know if I go down in the hole, That's not going to help. The psalmist ends with a word of hope. You turned my wailing, not just my crying, my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. That is a mantle we can wear. That's a cloak that we can wear even when things are uncertain. For indeed, there is nothing quite like claiming God right in the middle of the storm. My heart will offer praises to you and will not be silent. A part of what we are offered in times of transition is an opportunity to praise God right in the middle. Amen? You don't have to wait until things are good to praise God. You don't have to, I'll repeat this, wait until things are good to praise God. And when it is hard to, because indeed it can be hard to do that, I believe that is one of the gifts of our New Testament scripture. With gratitude, we are offered these words. And again, I know I've done it the past three or four Sundays, maybe even longer than that at this point. I invite you to pick up your Bibles because I want you to walk with me through this. I want to highlight a few of the gifts that are in this passage. So again, that's page 66. Make sure I got that right. Yep. 66 in the red Bibles, the regular script. So we're going to look at 1 through 11 and then 16 through 20. I'm just going to highlight some of the gifts. Again, my hope is always that I leave you with a taste of the sweetness of Scripture and that you'll want to go back and read it and dive in and have a whole bowl full a little bit later. So 10 starts off with, "The Lord appointed 70 others and sent them ahead of him in pairs into every town." Now, I want to point out why, these are just some notes that I want to offer to you. 70. Anyone know the significance of the number 70? Perfect. I'll share, because I like sharing. 70 is a sign of God's fullness. So 7, you know, is the number of completion, the number of days in the week. 70 is also the number that are present at the day of Pentecost. And keep in mind, and I mentioned this before, Luke is a two-part volume. The first volume is Luke, the gospel. The second volume is Acts, the book of Acts. So these are the same. This is one book just split in two halves. So the gift in this moment is to say, to the fullness of creation is what the 70 is to represent. So the 70 are sent out, and you find here that they're sent out not alone, but in pairs. There is something to be said for company in the journey of life. Amen? The harvest, it says in verse 2, Jesus says to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, and I am sending you like lambs in the midst of wolves." Wait a minute now, Jesus. You're sending them what? Like lambs in the midst of wolves. Praise be to God for a Jesus who does not sugarcoat this journey. Because these are not necessarily the best sending words if you want to send someone on a journey. Here you go, because it gets a little bit more treacherous. "Also, carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. Greet no one on the road." Wait a minute. You telling me you're sending us out, the people of God, the faithful ones, with no bag? No money, no sandals, nothing to protect ourselves, literally like lambs in the middle of wolves. all of the things that we imagine, at least in those days would have been imaginable, as simple protections, basic goods for a journey, are being said no. But whatever house you are in, say peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. And if not, it'll return to you. Elijah, let's go back for a second. One of the things that happened at that moment was Elisha, the younger, desired deeply for that spirit that rested on Elijah to rest upon him as he was wanting to move forward. Knowing that there are places and people who will fill your cup spiritually is a powerful reality. Knowing and being able to recognize that there are folks for whom you will automatically heart-to-heart connect with, and you will see them, and they will offer peace to you, and you will offer peace to them. Whoo! That's more sustaining than an extra pair of sandals, amen? If you know what it's like to journey and have that experience of people seeing you and you being seen by them, hold on to it is the invitation. And for those for whom it is not that way, let it go. It doesn't say force your spirit onto them, force your peace onto them. There are some people who are not in a space where they're going to be very peaceful. You know anybody like that? I know a couple people. The ability to offer and be okay as to whether or not another person in their autonomy desire to receive the gift that you offer is a gift to you as well. It keeps you from being distracted for the journey ahead. And if there is anyone who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. If not, it will return to you. Remain in the house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborers deserve to be paid. This is a big ask that Jesus has of his people. You're going to get on the road, you're going to not have the things you need, and one of the most intimate things we can do is ingest things. Amen? I grew up, my grandma said, you don't eat everybody's food until you've been to their house. That might have been a little judgmental. But I understood where she was coming from. She was trying to protect. Jesus is saying you are invited in your very way of being, offering hospitality by being grateful for the hospitality that is offered to you. That is a testament. So frequently as the church, we want to be helpers. We want to go out and do things for people. But you know one of the most powerful things is to let people help you as well. To receive the gift that God has placed before you is actually a ministry. We struggle with that, particularly at a denomination that has more affluence than some other situations. We struggle in how we understand mission and ministry. We have that do for mentality that seeps its way through. God is saying, no, in the journey, your ministry is partly receiving what it is God has as a surprise to you. It continues. Do not move from house to house. Whenever you enter a home, you are welcome to eat what is set before you. This also meant that they went against their cultural codes that had previously been very clear and ritualized as to what you ate and what you didn't eat. All of a sudden, Jesus is saying more important than the rules is the people and the love before you. Whoa. As the church universal, we still sometimes struggle with that. But I think it's one of the gifts that we carry as PPC into this world is that we are trying our best to see each other and appreciate each other. And that is a beautiful testament. It says, do not move from house to house. Wherever you are, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, the kingdom of God is near to you. But whatever you enter a house, they do not welcome you. Go into the streets and says, even the dust that clings to your feet, we wipe off and protest against you. In other words, leave it there. Leave it there. But even there, you can proclaim that the kingdom of God is near. Yet know this. I tell you that it is more So it goes into, that's a passage that's not there. But I don't want, so one of the things that I'm aware that the lectionary does is it skips over the hard parts. It really does. I'm guessing this was a room of people who are like, let's just skip over the hard. I don't agree with it, but obviously I can't go back in time. But in that section are a list of woes, warnings, counteractions to tell you, be careful if you. And it is all examples, and I invite you to read verses 12 through 16, all examples in which people were completely inhospitable to each other. So the story of Sodom and Gomorrah is a story of complete lack of hospitality to those who come before. So I invite you to read there, but I pick up at 17. So the 70 group, this full group that were sent out into the nations, returned with joy, utterly surprised. Lord, in your name, even the demons submitted to us. One of the gifts of going in community is that you can offer the testimony together. Amen? You can be encouraged by the other. It goes on, Jesus says, I watched Satan fall from heaven in a flash. In other words, yes, the miraculous can happen. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and all over the power of enmity. So snakes and scorpions were traditional examples or embodiments of evil in the world. Remnant, of course, from the Genesis passage at the beginning of the Bible. Nevertheless, Jesus says to them, and this is powerful, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. In other words, more than any of the mighty things you will be able to do, and I believe it's true that you will be able to do incredible things. But more important than any of that is that you belong to God. Do not get distracted even by the good things that will come. Part of our journey at the congregation, I believe, is that we are extraordinary. I tell every place I go, I trumpet PPC. An extraordinary congregation in so many ways. And yet, what we have to be most proud of is that we belong to God. And therefore, there is always more work to be done. Amen? So one of the gifts of this passage, again, it's this image of people being sent two by two. In my last 5 minutes of this sermon, I'm going to put a small challenge before us. So I want you to find someone you did not ride in the car with today, and preferably someone you did not talk to this week. And I invite you to listen with each other and ask one question. I'll ask you two questions. If you have it, if you don't know their name, do the introduction. So, who are you, if we haven't had a chance to meet previously? But in the spirit of being two by two and then sent forth, what can I pray for you for this week? What can I pray for you? Because I know we have our prayer and joys concern, and that's great. I think it's a glue that holds us together in so many ways. But there are times when being sent with one other person in a moment can offer us some healing that we didn't expect otherwise. So are you guys willing to do that? Take 5 minutes, introduce yourself to each other, and offer one thing the other person can pray for you and you can pray for them about. Amen? Okay, let's do that. If you have mobility issues, you stay right where you're at and somebody's gonna come to you. Join with me as we regather. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not test the sweetest frame, but wholly stain on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
All of the ground is sinking sand.
Siblings, as we prepare to come before this table that is indeed provided by Christ, may we look around and see that we too for each other have been provided by Christ. May we remember that all the changes we traverse, we are not called to do it in solitude or to find our own broom trees, but in community with the one who comes in community, three in one and one in three, in community with those who God has sent our way. We are not called to do this alone, so may our prayers as we hold each other through this week and through this life continue to be fruitful. And may we remember that we are not alone, even though weeping may come for the night, that joy comes in the morning, and dancing will be there as well. And all God's people said, Amen.